dancing,
I thought, that's going to happen here. You know, maybe you've got to learn in some new steps or something. So the next time, I think I'm coming again in August, and I think that maybe I was going to do steps in August. What do you reckon? In my last church, it was a Caribbean church, and it was not unusual to see people dancing up and down the aisles, and you know, that freedom of knowing Jesus, that freedom of worship, you know, is we can learn a few things about that. You know, we don't need to be so staid in what we do. You know, there's a freedom in the gospel. This morning, are you up to be challenged spiritually? Well, you don't sound too enthusiastic about that. Because this morning, last time I came, I spoke on the end times, where we are at the end times, and I really, it's sort of a theme. Rediscovering your passion, or rediscovering my passion. And I'm going to read a couple of verses, and I just want us to, I'm going to ask some questions. I don't want any answers, but I just want to think about what I'm saying in these two scriptures. And they're Revelation 2:4, and it says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." And then Revelation 3:15-16, "I know your works, that you have neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, you are neither cold nor hot, will I spew you out of my mouth." Now, just a few moments to digest the scriptures. And I'm going to ask a few questions related to the scriptures. How do you see your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in light of these two scriptures? Next question is, what is it in a person's life that could cause them to lose their first love or become lukewarm after being filled with the zeal and the passion of the Lord? Digesting these slowly. And then finally, what was it that causes a person who once burned with a fervent intensity that produced a hot fire within their souls and spirits and ignited others with the same level of fervent? Let's just pause a moment and just think about those two scriptures, and I'll read them out again. And I want you to just think about your own walk with the Lord in light of those two scriptures. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. And then Revelation 3:15-16, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, will I spew you out of my mouth." Very scriptures. Like us being lukewarm. He wants us to be passionate about what we believe. And I don't watch it all this morning in the time. The next time I come, I will finish it off. Because it's an important subject to renew our passion. It's passion defined. The energy of our soul, intense emotion, compelling action, a strong devotion to some object, activity or concept, passion, fervor, ardor, enthusiasm, and zeal. Now that's the definition of passion. How much of that have we got in our lives this morning about the Lord Jesus? What have we got? Have we got that zeal? Or are we just locked away in our own little trench? We go to church, we do this, and you know, everything's a routine. Before I go on to the positive side, I want to look at the negative, because looking at the negative will lead us to the positive. Okay? Why people lose passion? By allowing something precious to become familiar. Is church familiar? Come to church every Sunday or whenever we can. Is church so familiar that we just take it for granted? Often, like in our marriage, we take our partners for granted. We're so familiar with them that we can take advantage of them. When dealing with people, do you remember how it was when you didn't know Jesus, or has become he too familiar? Has Jesus become too familiar? Now, I want to be familiar with Jesus. Can we ever get too familiar? In one sense, no, we can't. But in another sense, we can become so familiar with what he does for us that we just drift with the relationship with him. We don't want to drift within that relationship. You know, when you remember, and certainly when I remember what I was like before I was a Christian, to where I have a passion because of what Jesus has done in my life. At what I killed and not the way that now I want to love people rather than kill them. But it's a case of, you know, Jesus changes things. And because he's changed us so much, you know, particularly when I was a first young Christian, you know, nobody could shut me up about Jesus. And I don't know if you've been in the same city, but just lost that same. He's so familiar that we're talking about Jesus. A desire to accept an approval. Sometimes we do things, accept things within church, and accept things around us that it becomes so familiar that we, like homosexuality. You know, homosexuality, at one time, we know in Scripture that it's not right. But it's so imprinted on us now that the church, some churches are accepting and gay, you know, homosexual people. This scripture is something that is wrong. You know, yes, we love the sinner but hate the sin. And our desire to turn down the temperature on our passion, we seek to be normal, average. In other words, we drift into being lukewarm. We live in a society that is passive. We actually become conformed to the world when we should be conformed to Scripture. We could be conformed to have a heavenly mentality, not being conformed to the ways of the world. Fortunately, the Church of Jesus Christ, in many instances, has conformed to the world. You know, we do all sorts of things. When they only, you know, I always think that people turn up at church for food. Have you noticed? People always turn up for food. And yet, they go out the door and they've never experienced Jesus Christ. You see, we've got to, yes, Jesus fed the 5,000. Yes, we fed them, but we earn the right to witness to them, not by necessarily feeding them, but by sharing the gospel with them. That's the best food that anybody could ever receive, receiving the gospel. And it surprised me that in church I've been around, how little the gospel is actually preached. See, the church is conforming to the world, hoping to win the world. Well, Jesus is the only way to win the world. Apathy increases with age. You know, the older we get, the more we tend to lose energy a little bit, you know, and it tends to lead to a sort of apathy because we're getting older and we're slowing down and things are not quite working as they should in the bodies. So an apathy comes in. But let's face it, every time you wake up in the morning is a new day. New beginning. I don't get into this sort of circle. Oh, well, I don't want to do today, I'll do it. It's a what? Look, the appointment to just the other day, I was going through the village. And there's two lads sat on a. They were a sign sort of thing, like a bollard. And I just started chatting to them about football and the rest of it. And they said, I said, look, you know, I'm a born again Christian and da 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 da. And they said, what do you think of this? The world being flat. Because at the moment, there is a teaching going around media that the world is flat and the landing on the moon was something that was contrived by NASA. You know, this sort of thing. So I managed to be able to talk to him about that. And then talking about something else. And what do you believe about this? Do you believe in the devil? Do you believe... And all the... For about an hour and a half, this was going on. And in the end... They said, you know, you've changed my... But it's just having that opportunity, a divine appointment. You meet somebody and you start talking to them, you'll be amazed at the conversations that come out. In the church, of a church leader who is building, wants to build his international thing. I heard that he was involved with a dozen or so churches. And yet he's not building his own church. He's looking to build something, his own reputation, rather than building the church. Christ has called us, single one of us, you're in this vineyard. And God has called you to work in this vineyard. Now, do you want to see fruit, or don't you want to see fruit? You know, sometimes there has to be a pruning, sometimes there has to be a fertilization, sometimes there has to be something, but the church needs to be challenged where it's, instead of being in this apathetic way of life. And I don't cause anybody offense. Have I caused any offense so far? Oh, praise God. I don't want to do that. You see, we're no purpose beyond self. We're in this, it says in 2 Timothy 3, you know, in the last days there will be perilous times. There'll be a time when there'll be no, well, I can't think of the word. There'll be a time when people are disrespectful, and a time when all of this is going on, and it's about self. You know, even Christians, we tend to evolve. Just a challenge this morning, how many of you have prayed for somebody in the church before you came to church this morning? You know, how many of you have thought about somebody that hasn't been to church for a while, and you're thinking, well, I'm going to go and contact them where they are? You see, you'd be surprised that Sandy Baptist Church could actually become a hospital church to those Christians that have been hurt through the years, just by you going along and saying to them, you know, how you're doing? Is there anything we can do for you? You know, if you've been involved with hurt in the church, well, come along to Sandy Baptist Church, because we're a hospital church. We want to build you up, not destroy you. Failing. Now, this is another challenge to the church. Way, this is a challenge. Failing to count it all joy in the midst of life's trials and hardships. Failing to count it all joy. When you're going through a difficult time, are you going to be like, oh, it's so hard, so difficult, so I just wish I'd curl over and die or something? But when you look as those nuns dancing away, you know, I mean, they're not going through any hard time that I know of, but, you know, when we count it all, when Peter was in the prison, and he was going to be persecuted and all the rest of it, what did he do? Did he sort of get all worried? No, he just rolled over and went to sleep, trusting that God is going to undertake. When Paul was in prison, again, chained to Paul, you know, you could describe, you know, the type of cells that they had, but there he is chained up. And what did he do? Start praising God, singing hymns. And the rest of them started joining in. All joy. Because when we go through difficult times, when we're going through hard times, it is because God is molding us to be something better than we are. Something greater than we are. So, start to, you know, praise God for tribulations. Praise God for the relationship breakup. Pray, because He might be giving you somebody better. I don't know. But praise God for, you know, the financial strength, because it means you're going to trust Him more rather than rely on your own. You're going to trust Him more. Unrepented sin. You know, what have we done in the last week that has been sinful? We're all sinners falling short of the glory of God this morning. So we're all, what sin of this week? unresolved issues and pain, hurt, etc. You know, when just hurt you, have you resolved the issue? Have you sought forgiveness? Have you sought to things right? This is all part of the body. This is all part of the relationship. This is all part of us losing our passion for Jesus this morning. I've got some characteristics. A person driven by passion. Now, see if we fall into any of these. Is goal orientated and visionary? He is a she is a self-starter. Has a positive attitude. Gives 100% all the time. Strives for excellence. Is satisfied with mediocrity. Is creative at getting things done, well, no matter what. Has a whatever it takes attitude. Isn't to overcome obstacles. Accepts responsibility. Doesn't make excuses or shift blame. Inspires others to do their best. Raises to leadership. They're the things within that has passion. Has each one of us got a thing within us? If I would say that if you've got only two of those within that group, and I've only got two of those, then we need to start looking at areas of our lives to restore our passion. Restoring our passion is so vital. Our passion restored. In order to change in an area or to rise to a challenge, there must first of all be that which motivates us to do so. I believe if we really desire to see our passion for the gospel and the kingdom restored, we must properly be motivated. Matthew 11:12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent takes it by force. The Greek word for violent in this context literally means energetic, or those who strive to obtain its privileges with the utmost eagerness and effort. See, we have a thing this morning, and we're up for a spiritual challenge. And what we need to be saying this morning, am I really up for a spiritual challenge? Am I really ready for a spiritual challenge? Because if you are, then each and every one of us this morning needs to seek repentance for our apathy. Each one of us needs to seek repentance for our lethargicness. Each one of us needs to seek repentance this morning before we can even start thinking about passion. If my people should humble themselves and pray. You see, sometimes our pride takes over. Sometimes our motivation is more self-centered, work-orientated, family-orientated. You know, I always say, family second, church third. God first, family second, church third. Because then the family, your immediate family, as men of the family, they have a responsibility of loving their wives as Christ loved the church. Wives have a responsibility not to be in subjection and brute force and brought down, because they're a partnership, they're one, the Bible. And children are told to respect the parents, and parents not to cause the children harm and disrespect. There is a family unit and a way of being put there by Christ. And then the fellowship, one with another. And that fellowship, because that's extended. This morning, whether you like it or not, we're brothers and sisters. Whether you like it or not, we've got to spend eternity together. Now, that might be a bit difficult for some, but it's a fact of life, you know, that the extended family, no matter nation, no matter colour, creed or whatever, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ this morning. We are the bride of Christ. And if that doesn't generate passion, I don't know what will. We're the bride of Christ. Just think of that. You know, we're looking forward to a great day. You know, when you're getting married, I don't know about so much for the men, but certainly the women seem to get very excited, and the mothers seem to get very excited about it. You know, I've got another one captive, you know, sort of things. But seriously, we're a family. And if person just catches a flame, that flame doesn't give out a lot of heat. But when that flame ignites to another bit of heat, it gets hotter, and so on and so on. Until the end, you've got a fire burning with lots of heat. And that only comes about by having a passion. And I'm going to leave it at that, if that's okay, because I want you to digest. I don't want it to be one of those messages that you go away and forget about and ask next Sunday, what did he speak about? Oh, don't know. It's so important to think about the passion. Think about those two scriptures. Where am I in those two scriptures? Where am I with my passion? And when we look at, I'll look at the more positive things next time I'm here. But renew our passion. It should be something that should be burning in our hearts. I want my passion renewed. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. I just want this morning for us to do business with God. Where is my passion? How has my passion disappeared? Lord, what must I do to renew my passion? Lord, I want my passion to be like it was when I was first born. Help me, Father, this morning. Lord, I just pray for hearts that open to you this morning. Lord, I pray that as your word goes forth, Lord, I pray by the anointing of the Holy Spirit that that word will penetrate into our hearts. And Lord, it will not be a forgotten word. But Lord, as we go through the day, Lord, help us with our passion. Reignite our passion, Lord, we pray. Father, if there's anything that is causing us to stumble, anything that would cause us to fall by the wayside, anything that would cause our passion to die, Father, we pray this morning that you will ignite a renewal of our passion. Lord, forgive us for our apathy. Forgive us for our lack of passion. Forgive us for just being going into normality. Lord, forgive us this morning, we pray. in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.